Our Bible reading today is from St. Mark, chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Then in St. John chapter 13, verse 33, it says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." As you probably gather, I want to talk to you about love this morning. You know, love is always a most beautiful subject. It is the greatest thing in the world. There is nothing else like it. And when you can stop loving your little self and love only God, who dwells within you and who is within every other individual being that walks this earth, then you will in truth have realized the consciousness which was in the Christ. Now, this is a very difficult thing to do because this ego is very strongly entrenched within us. It is constantly being put upon. It is constantly feeling sorry for itself. It is constantly hurt. It is constantly rebuffed. Also, it constantly reaches out for its own glory. And there is only one who should be glorified, and that is our Father, which art in heaven. Only that one, not ourselves. Now, it takes some doing to get to this point in our consciousness where we can even want to give up our will to God. We think this is a terrible thing to ask us. What can I do without my will? I don't want to give up my will. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to reach out for this. I'm not at all anxious to give up my will. I will worship God in my heart. But let me not give up anything that I want to do or that I want to possess. All of us have been in that state, at one time or another. And I want to tell you that those who are sincere in your hearts about attaining the realization of your oneness with God will never in this world get it until you are willing to give up the things of your little self in order that you may know your real self or God. You are not reaching out for a stranger. You are reaching out for your very self. This false self, this human ego, is a pseudo-self. It has no basis in truth, no reality in truth whatsoever. It is the Antichrist within every man. It is that one which fights every inch of the way. You're giving yourself and all that you possess to God the Father in order that you may realize that indeed you are He. Indeed, you are He. The individual I and the universal I are identical. We are made in His image and likeness. And yet we have been told down through the centuries that only one man ever could make that or ever did make it. And it is not the truth. You have this Savior within you. You have this Christ consciousness within you. It is eternal. Jesus himself said, "Lo, I am with you always." And he didn't say, "I am the only one." Never did he say that. Each and every one of us are the children of God. It was St. Paul who made some of these wild statements in his overzealousness about Jesus, the man, being God himself and the only mediator between God and man. And yet Jesus also said that no disciple can become greater than his master, but the disciple becoming perfect can be as great as his master. He didn't say, "I am the only master." He said, "You can do it too, if you will do what it says in this Bible verse this morning. If you will love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strengths." Now you have to build a citadel in your consciousness. You have to make a start someplace. You have to take the first step before you can reach the summit of the mountain. And so you've got to build this stronghold within yourself so that you may resist temptation. But you cannot do it without taking cognizance of that integral presence, that radiant, shining being which is at the center, the very core of your existence. It is that within you which has intelligence, which has light, which furnishes the light of the world. And it is that within you which gives you life. The Word, which is the Spirit of God, took on the garment of flesh. The Word was made flesh. And he dwells among us, in each and every one of us, not just one, but every one of us. Let us get this old concept out of our minds, and let us realize the presence of Christ within ourselves, within our own consciousness. He is a radiant, splendid, living being. And when we come to the point where we can relinquish this little self, we will reach out. And we will find ourselves, and we will find that we are that splendor. We are that power. We are that love. We are that intelligence, and we are that life. We are He because He is eternal. God cannot die. We cannot speak out of both sides of our mouths and say that there is such a thing as death, when God is all life, when all life came from Him and constantly flows from Him. And it will continue to do so. The worlds may come and go, and everything in here may disintegrate, but His Word, which is His eternal Spirit, will not pass away. And if these worlds disappear, that Word, that Spirit, will reform new worlds, new beings. But He will never die. And we are He. We are that. If there is not any other thing in this world that you ever remember that I teach you, know that you are now, this moment, the sons of God, the children of God, and that all that is necessary is for you to realize it. It is love which will bring this into being. When you can love your enemy, when you can see God in that one, when you can see God in the vilest creature that walks the earth, and you can say to that one, "O thou resplendent being, thou who art forever pure, arise, all powerful, and manifest thy glory." Because you don't see the outer individual. You don't see this one that apparently is covered with darkness, with ignorance, with what we have been taught is sin. But you see God in that one. And do you think that you will ever change any man, any creature on this earth by giving them hate? By constantly criticizing them, I can assure you, you will not. You will only change them and yourself if you give them love. The wonderful thing about God, about divinity, who is pictured as a mother. Divinity, you see, God is the Father, the infinite Spirit. And divinity is the manifestation of God, and she is pictured as the mother. She gives of herself unceasingly to all who reach out for her. She asks nothing in return. She never chastises of her own volition. She is always there to pick up the pieces, always there ready to help. She never criticizes. She never condemns. She doesn't judge. She doesn't sentence. She is always there just constantly giving of herself, of her love, in the hope that one day the soul may awaken and realize in truth what it is and who it is. Everybody is searching, everybody is wasting so much time in the outer. And everyone forgets, or most everyone, that we are taught to seek first God and the kingdom of heaven. And that then all of these other things will be added unto you. I prove that every day of my life. Every day to me is like a Christmas, really. And I never know what packages are going to be delivered to my door. Some of them are wrapped in newspaper. Some of them in very fancy packages. Some are delivered by hand, some by mail. But every day, something wonderful comes to my door. And this summer, just recently, I had two of the stiffest, toughest, roughest packages come to my door that it has been my lot to have experienced in many a long time. And it got to me momentarily. I was devastated. I was crucified inside. And I didn't have any strength left to combat it. I was ill in the first place, or the body was. But out of that chaos, out of that tremendous test, that tremendous crucifixion which came, I had the most tremendous spiritual experiences that I have had in years. And it was a means for God lifting me up still higher, broadening my consciousness to a still greater extent, and showing me still more and greater truth. So wherein was I hurt? The individuals who did these things to me, seemingly, did me the greatest service that has ever been done me in my whole lifetime. And I bless them, and I hope that I get a lot more of it, just like it. Now that's something to say, but I mean it. I mean it with everything that's in me. Because I have to go up into the mountain of my own being to get the truth. I have to ask God's help. I have to ask for his wisdom that I may answer these things which come to me. And he reveals that truth to me. And I feel the power of his presence, of his infinite spirit. And I bless those who have done this a million times. When you can come to that point in your consciousness, you will find that you have grown a million miles and that you are a master of yourself. That nobody or nothing can touch you unless you give them permission to do so through your own acceptance of it. That is a tremendous sentence, and I hope you will remember it. Because we are constantly accepting things and taking them into ourselves. And you will remember the story I told you about the guru and the disciple. And the disciple had abused the guru, but the guru had refused to accept this abuse. And the disciple still had the apple of abuse in his hand. It had not harmed the guru at all. I have come to know that there is no evil in this world. That the only sin is the sin of the idea of separation. That every single thing, every event, everything which comes at you, which seems adverse, is a blessing in disguise. And it is but that which is necessary to chip away at the dregs of the human consciousness which is left in the individual in order that the purification may take place. And if you look at each single event, each individual who comes to you, each thing that is said to you as good and an opportunity for growth, I can assure you that you will find that that's what you will get in the end, and you will grow by leaps and bounds. What does it mean to love God? With all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. If you were to do that, do you have any time for self-love? Do you have any time for self-pity? Do you have any time for... You can't at one and the same time have your whole consciousness, your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole strength, zeroed in on God your Father, who is your very self. And at the same time, have time to be sorry for yourself. You know, God pushes us sometimes beyond belief. And sometimes physically, mentally, emotionally, we have reached the very depths. And we think, I can't take another thing. Lord, release me, release me. Help me. And he pours it on a little bit harder. And you know why he does? He's conditioning us. He knows how much we can stand a great deal better than we do. We think we can't take any more. He knows we can. And he dishes it out. And he does it not because he is a God of punishment, but because he's a God of love. Because he knows how entrenched we are in this Antichrist consciousness, this human ego consciousness. And unless he pushes it and pushes it until it has to give up the ghost, it will never. It will always retain residency in there, and we will never reach our goal. So it is through his great love for us that he gives us these tests, these trials, these tribulations. And if we are what we should be, if we come to the point where it's time to separate the men from the boys, as the saying goes, and we are able to measure up and be proud of ourselves, not that pride is a good thing, but you know, when you have done every God-blessed thing that could be required of you, that you are humanly conscious of, then you feel wonderful. You're not constantly beating yourself because you didn't have the plain guts to get up and do something about kicking out this Antichrist by doing the right thing, by putting your full attention upon God and knowing that with his help and through his grace, you can whip any circumstance in your life, because you can. You can. God is all-powerful. You may not be able to do all that much, but God in you can do anything and everything, because to him all things are possible. Nothing is impossible to the Lord. Not one God-blessed thing. Remember that. Now let us take hold of our lives. Let us be the masters and not the slaves of our desires. Let us not give God just the residue thereof. Let us not give him burnt offerings. Those things of the senses which we have enjoyed and indulged in and used up and burnt out, and then we give him what's left. This is the true meaning of the burnt offering, not this animal thing. It is the animal tendencies in man that we have burnt out. But just think how wonderful it would be if we could offer him all of these things in their pure state. How tremendous it would be. I would like you to think only about God. I would like you to do what it says in here, to love him with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And if you tie in to that secret place of the Most High, that citadel where God resides within you, you can do it. You can do it. Let every thought, every word, every action be dedicated to him. Be dedicated to him. Reach out for him constantly. Look for this union, but also realize that you already have it. Only you just can't quite bring yourself to accept that. That's the terrible injustice that has been done to humanity. This constant idea of sin and separation. You miserable sinner, you're born in sin. From the moment that you open your eyes, you are born in sin. From the minute you take your first cry, you're a miserable sinner. And this is drummed into your consciousness until you have a guilt complex a mile high. You can't do a natural thing without a feeling of guilt. And yet, God is pure everywhere. It is the evil in man's consciousness that is impure. God is not evil. I could not worship a God who is evil. I could not worship a God that I could give credit to for all of the good in this world. I could not possibly do it. It is not in me. And I would like, really, and I say this with all sincerity, to rewrite the scriptures and take the word sin out and put the word love and compassion and sympathy and understanding and helpfulness and brotherly love. And I'd like to stress them in every single verse in the Bible until that was what was there to permeate the consciousness of man. Until he got rid of this bad habit of thinking of sin and of separation. And he took hold of the good habit, which is the only real habit of knowing that he is the Son of God. If that sounds sacrilegious, then I am sacrilegious. But that's the way I feel about it. I think it is so terrible the way men do it. And we are constantly criticizing. Just look at the state of this nation and of the world today. Are we being charitable? We are condemning men before they are even heard, before they have been proven guilty. We're just sitting on the edges of our seats waiting to condemn them and to crucify them and to kick them out from wherever they were. They need help. Jesus came to save sinners, not the self-righteous. And how in the world are you going to help someone who has done something wrong unless you can understand what caused it in the first place and then give him love and help and sympathy and compassion? Don't you think that those things would take him to God a lot faster than condemnation? We've come to think that what we do, what we believe in, how we think, how we vote, everything about it is the only way. But each man has the inalienable right to follow God's will for him, to worship God as he pleases, as he is directed from within himself. And if God is equally present everywhere, there is not one religion where he is not. And one of the things that came to me this summer, I was faced with something in the fundamentalist line, and I hadn't attended a church of that nature. So I made it my business to do this, to attend a church where they spoke in tongues, where the power of the Holy Ghost comes, and to see these people and how they were manifested. Now, they have the higher state of human consciousness, but it's a hypnotic state. It is not the state of bliss of God. What they have is something that comes as a gift in the human sense. But don't forget that God realization, the reality of God, is said to be the pearl of great price. And if you reach out for it just in a moment through mass emotionalism, mass hypnotism, you haven't earned it. And you haven't got it. But I saw also that what they had was good, because many who had been on the streets, many involved with drugs and sex and liquor and cigarettes or whatever, marijuana, were now turned with their faces toward God, and it was good. It was very good. I heard one of the most wonderful sermons that I have ever heard in my life. And one thing this man said which stood out in my memory and inside, I said, good for you. He said, I want you to remember that you are not to worship Jesus the Christ, you are to worship God the Father. Now, we go to God the Father through the Christ consciousness, and we venerate the Savior, but we do not make him God. He is the Son of God and one with him. But we must remember that commandment, thou shalt not have false gods before me. And that means that God, the supreme God, is the one. If you're going to obey the commandments, you have to obey that. I am taking nothing away from the Christ. Nothing whatsoever. He was one of the greatest masters who ever lived. But I am trying to take him out of one body which lived 2 years ago and make you know that the consciousness which is within him, the infinite spirit which was within him, is in you now. And in every single form that walks this earth, everyone, this you must realize. We don't even read our Bible. We don't think about what we read. And when I had to dig in, and all of a sudden, I saw that it was St. Paul who had made this statement about Jesus the Christ, and nowhere did Jesus himself say, I am the only one. He said, know ye not that ye are gods? He also said, all of these works that I do, ye may do also, and even greater works than these I do. I don't get any shame in the Christian world. They've got him higher than God, and it should not be. He is one with the Father, but so are we. All we have to do is to realize it. And all those who believed in him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. All those, not just one, but all of them. Now let's read the Bible and let's see what it really says. Realize it. Open your ears that you might hear. open your eyes that you might see, know the truth, because when that consciousness awakens in you, then this coating of ignorance, the parables fall away, and you know the eternal truth of God, and you know that this moment you have the fullness of God, the fullness of life, the fullness of light within you. All you have to do is to take hold of it and use it. And you can move mountains, you can move worlds, and certainly you can move this mountain of an ego which is within you. There is no question of a doubt about it. God does everything for the highest good. There was a man, a very humble man, who lived with his wife in a village right near the jungle in India. And they had a bull that was used to pack around merchandise which the man sold. They also had a dog, and every morning the dog would bark. They also had a parrot which could speak. And every morning at the crack of dawn, the dog would bark and the parrot would speak and say, "Come, let us pray to God." Well, this was wonderful. And the man and his wife lived on in this humble way. But one day, they found that a lion had entered the village and had killed the bull. And the wife was devastated. She said, "How in the world can we earn our living now? This source of income has been taken away from us." But the man remained very calm, and he said, "God does all things for our highest good." She said, "How can you do that? How can you say that?" And he said, "But it is so, you will see." Well, it seems that the next day, the dog somehow got at the parrot. The cage had been left open, and the dog killed the parrot, so the parrot couldn't wake them up and tell them to pray to God every morning. Well, this was still worse for the wife, and she cried and she wailed and she took off. But the man still kept with it, and he said that God does everything for our highest good. And a little bit later, somebody ran into the house and told them that their dog was lying on the street dying, taken very ill. So all three were gone, and the woman was devastated. She said, "Everything has been gone." She said, "Now the robbers will come in. We have no protection. We have no way of earning our living. Everything is lost." And he said, "Everything is gained. God does all things for our highest good." They went to sleep that night, and when they woke up and opened their door in the morning and went out into the street, they saw dead bodies lying all over. All of the villagers had been killed. And they were horrified, horror-struck. And the man said to her, "Why do you think that it is we alone who were saved? We had no dog to bark. We had no bull outside. We had no parrot to make a noise. And therefore, when the dacoits come in, the robbers who plunder and murder and take everything, they come into the village. If they see a house without a dog, without a bull, no noise around, they pass that one. They think it's an empty house. No one is living there. And so isn't God wonderful that he took these means and let these three die in order that we might live?" Now that seems rather drastic, but that's the way God does our lives. Never doubt his infinite love, his infinite mercy. There's another story told, it's a Christian story, about a young girl who was about to be burned at the stake. And as these people came into the village, they saw all eyes turned toward this square. And on it was a big bunch of faggots. And this girl was tied to a post. So somebody said, "What has she done? What has she done?" Someone else said, "Oh, she has committed a great crime, and she must pay for her sins." And everybody was relishing it, as many times they did in the olden days. But the girl continued to say that she was innocent. And even the holy fathers went to her and asked her to confess her sin. She said, "How can I confess that which I have not done?" And strangely enough, you know, she had not done it. It seems that she was just a gentle girl, but very, very beautiful. She lived with her elderly grandmother in just a humble little cottage, and every day she went down to the well to get water. One day she was leaning against the well, preparatory to taking up the vessel which carried the water and take it up back to her grandmother's, and a very handsome young man came back by on a horse, and he stopped and he spoke to her. And she spoke to him. He asked her if he might carry this water vessel back to the house. And so she agreed to let him. So he did. And he got on his horse again and he rode away. But he couldn't forget this girl because she was so beautiful. Her name was Rosetta. And she had big black eyes and a beautiful, beautiful face and body. And so constantly he kept remembering her until finally he couldn't stay away any longer. So he kept making journeys back and back and back and talk with her. And he'd go to see the grandmother and give her all love because of his love for the granddaughter. So one day he asked the granddaughter to marry him. And she said no, she didn't love him. She couldn't marry him. And he became very angry. He pleaded, he coaxed, nothing could dissuade her. So he went away again, and one day when she was down to the well, all of a sudden, some men came and grabbed her by force, and they took her to his castle because he was a young prince. And they kept her there, and they pleaded with her, they begged her, they threatened her. They did everything in order to try and make her marry this prince, and she would not do so because she was true to what she felt inside. And so finally, they hired some evil men, and they drew her away to another village. And they had them accuse her falsely of terrible things. And so it was for this reason that this girl was going to be burned at the stake. And as she was tied there, she looked at her eyes and she said, Divine Mother, you know. She called her the Virgin Mother because it was a Christian story. She said, Divine Mother, you know that I am innocent. You must save me. You must help me. But the people cried out and they wanted blood. They were bloodthirsty. And they insisted that the fire be lit. So all of a sudden somebody came and lit the flames, and she saw them coming at her, and she closed her eyes and withdrew. And all of a sudden she heard a great stillness, and then just sort of a sigh all over the village of astonishment. She opened her eyes, and there standing alongside of her was an angel sent by the Holy Mother. And he had rainbow wings, and he had a face that was filled with light and with fire. And she looked down at her feet, and where the flames had been, she saw only red roses. And where the ashes were, there were only white roses. And these were the first roses that man ever saw. You know, your faith can make you whole. I don't care how weak you are, how great you feel that you are separated from God. How great do you feel that you are separated from God? You are one with him now. And if you will but make the effort to take the first step, God will reach out his hand to you. He will take you every step up the mountainside. He will pick you up when you stumble and fall. And he will dress your wounds. And he will heal them. And finally, step by step, if you keep your eyes on his glory, you will reach that summit. And you will know in truth that you are he. Now let us pray to him. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Guiding you and lighting your way each moment of your life.